on Sam's Lane and sold our way. Best pies and whiskey pies till the night turns into day. Well, let's drink till we stop breathing. You know I've got my reason, but I'll be drinking, cheating, loving and leaving. Well, you can move along just as fast as you want, but girl, I'll never be your man.
Hello, my name is Nick Spacek, and you're listening to From and Inspired By, a podcast about movie soundtracks and the people who make them. On this episode, we speak with musician Adam Lee about the inclusion of drinking, cheating, loving, and leaving in the 2011 Kevin Smith film Red State. Red State was the first departure of Kevin Smith from his rather more comedic roots. It's a grindhousey horror action film more akin to The Devil's Rejects than the suburban hijinks of Clerks or Mallrats. Smith self-produced the whole film, then released it under his own Smodcast Films banner. There's a huge story about this that I won't go into. The release was pretty interesting, with Red State getting a touring roadshow release in theaters, followed by video on demand and an eventual home video version. In an interesting turn of events, as Smith was wrapping filming on the movie in October of 2010, he put a call out via Twitter for speed metal and country tunes. I suggested at the time that the pitch award-winning thrash metal act Hammerlord, or the throwback twang of Adam Lee and the Dead Horse Sound Company, as possibilities in the pit. In a post for the Pitch's Wayward blog. Fast forward to March of 2011, and we found out from Adam Lee that a song from their sophomore album When the Spirits Move Me, the aforementioned Drinking, Cheating, Loving, and Leaving, had been selected for inclusion. It wasn't until the trailer saw release in July of that year that it turned out that the song was pretty prominently included and was actually one of just a handful of songs on the soundtrack. As a matter of fact, most of the other music is hymns as sung by Michael Parks, who is the star of the film, playing the sort of pseudo Fred Phelps character. Michael Parks actually, back in the late 60s, early 70s, recorded a series of sort of like country folk albums. But yeah, Adam Lee is pretty much the only actual like music in the entire film. We spoke by phone with Adam Lee about that song, as well as Smith's movie Tusk. We started off with a discussion of Lee's new solo album, Sincerely Me, which was released earlier this year.
On a Monday evening, I'm feeling awake. Outside a barroom in Chicago, just standing on the street, trying to find the courage to motivate my fate towards the neon signs off and beckon me.
So, you got a new album out?
I do, yeah. I'm pretty excited about it.
It's been a while since you've had an album out.
Yeah. It took a little longer than anticipated. We actually started doing we had a whole another album we were doing, and then ended up scrapping that whole thing and then put this one together. So, yeah, it's been like 6 years since something's come out.
Now, was a good portion of that due to, like, just the time and effort it takes to do the Million Dollar Quartet?
Yeah. A lot of it. I mean, because I was still recording down in Kansas City, but living in Chicago and doing, you know, basically 8 shows a week with the quartet. So, yeah, like, I would get away when I can, but we definitely sort of, like, we're doing it in sort of chunks, sort of bits and pieces. So, yeah, I mean, that definitely, I think we started recording this new record in 2014, and finally got it together, like, the end of last year. Got it all mastered and sequenced and stuff, but, yeah, it's taken a little while.
No, it seems a little bit different than I think what people who are familiar with your work with, like, the Dead Horse Sound might be expecting.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of led to that direction?
You know, I was a little wary of sort of painting myself into a corner. I mentioned, like, putting together a whole other album before this and then kind of scrapping it. Like, we had a whole other kind of honky-tonk record, which is all well and good. But I write, you know, like, I feel like I write sort of a variety of types of songs, and I didn't want to sort of pigeonhole myself. You know, I felt like if I put out two kind of traditional country records back to back, that would sort of be what people would expect. With that said, you know, going and putting this Sincerely Me, you know, the new record together, I mean, it's kind of all over the place, you know, like, I really sort of wanted to sort of have no rules in terms of the kind of stuff I was putting on there. I just wanted to put the best songs, you know, like, I wrote a bunch of songs. I think we went in put like 20 songs or something into the studio and just kind of pick the ones and that worked the best or that we could, you know, really had a handle on. So yeah, I just tried to pick what I thought were the strongest songs. But with that said, you know, like genre-wise, I feel like it's varied for sure.
It's definitely got like a sort of like this singer-songwriter-y thing, not like where it's like, you know, one dude with a guitar singer-songwriter-y, but it definitely seems like it's very much, even despite the fact that it is sort of genre disparate, it's definitely very much in your voice. Was it fun to get to like explore these different types of music that have been a little different than what you've recorded in the past?
Oh yeah, I mean, I had a blast. I was I was really looking forward to doing that. And like I said, I had all these songs put together, and I mean, even on like the Dead Horse stuff, like the first record we did, I felt like was maybe a little more akin to this new one. And then the second album, When the Spirits Move Me, it was pretty straight honky tonk record, but there were still like a couple like curveballs in there. And those songs always ended up being the ones that were my favorites, anyways. Yeah, it was fun to just play around and sort of not, you know, kind of work with any restrictions or parameters or whatever. And obviously, like doing some bringing in the horns and some stuff like that, stuff I hadn't done before. That was like a fun challenge and a cool thing to figure out.
That was one of the things I was going to ask about. Is just like that's one of the more noticeable things. There's horns in there, and there's a song like Stray Cat that like sounds like something straight out of like 60s, you know, psychedelic California. Like it's very much like a love kind of song.
Great.
What led to the like putting a little more extra on it?
I don't know. I mean, I was putting these songs together, and I just seemed like those were some appropriate elements. And, I mean, if we're talking like instrumentation, some of the piano and the horns, I mean, that's stuff that I've wanted to work with, you know, in the past, and these songs, so some of these songs seem to kind of lend themselves to that, I think. So, yeah, we just kind of brought it in. Like I said, I just kind of tried to pick my favorite songs, the songs I thought were the strongest, and try to, I kind of try to dress up each song appropriately, you know what I mean? Kind of treat each song as that song needed to be treated, you know, versus maybe like trying to give the whole album a certain treatment or whatever.
That's a really cool way of looking at things. I also like the approach you took to like putting this out, whereas rather than just doing like what seems to be the thing nowadays, which is where you either just kind of like hope that everything is ready at a certain time and like stuff
right.
Pushback and stuff. Like, I mean, you have like the different packages people can buy. It's not just like something that kind of got dumped on Bandcamp. Like it's a production. What's sort of been the do you find that people really appreciate that?
Yeah. I mean, the response has been, overall pretty good. I think people are excited to have some new music. I knew I would lose some folks with this record because it's definitely not, you know, sort of the straight ahead, country or like rockabilly kind of thing that people, had heard before. And that happened for sure. But overall, people are excited about it and maybe taken aback, initially, listening to it. But then, it seems like, most people are on board and really like it. And I just feel so much. I feel very proud of these songs, and I feel like it's a lot more honest and it's a lot more straight ahead. I'm trying to think here. It's not a bunch of party drinking songs, you know what I mean? I feel like I try to like kind of get a little deeper, kind of get a little subdermal or whatever.
I like the fact that you address that like right from the start with that first song.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's very nice to sort of like be able. Is it sort of nice to be able to like address everyone like at the outset of the album, like with, like I used to write drinking songs.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, you know, played in sort of like where that song, you know, opening the record with that song. You know, I thought that, you know, that kind of sets the tone to some degree, or at least maybe it's like some sort of like, you know, mission statement or whatever. That's one of the older songs on the record, but I was happy to finally get it recorded and sort of put some other songs along with it that sort of support that that outlook.
I'm a painting beating soul with a hard and heavy load, slowly rolling down the long and lonesome road. I'm a man of mind and might, full of blood and full of spite. I'm an old freight train just wailing in the night.
Now, that of course is very almost ironic, because one of the other reasons we're talking with you today is about one of your drinking songs that appeared in Kevin Smith's Red State. Would you just be able to like kind of walk me through the process of how that song ended up in it? I know I'm kind of familiar with like the fact that he just put out an open call for a specific kind of music, but I don't know the specifics of where it went from there.
Well, he put out an open call, which you alerted me to. That's how I found out about that. I think you sent me a thing on Twitter or something. I think I had heard, or maybe after looking into it, knowing that he was looking for music, he was doing like almost an entirely soundtrackless movie. I mean, there wasn't a lot of music in there. But he wanted a metal song, and he wanted a country song. I have no metal songs, but I had a bunch of country songs. So he had they'd set up an email, you know, it was like Red State Soundtrack at Gmail or whatever it was, you know, and I sent over a couple songs. I'm trying to think, yeah. I think I sent over Drinking, Cheating, Loving, and Leaving, which is the one that they ended up using, just because that was what opened the last record, and it was pretty upbeat, and they kind of, you know, had the steel guitar and the rest of it. I thought, kind of stylistically, I thought that's what they might be looking for. I also sent over a song called Holy Roller, which is, lyrically and sort of narrative-wise, a lot more in line with what's going on in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that would be cool, I don't necessarily think that was the sound they were looking for, and it might also have been kind of too on the nose. Like, that's sort of irritating sometimes when you're watching a movie and, like, the lyrics of whatever the soundtrack is telling you what's happening on screen. So I might have been a little bold in sending that one. But either way, I heard nothing back, and I just didn't think anything else of it. I mean, I didn't hear anything back for, 4 months. Not even, a we got it response, nothing. So I kind of just wrote it off and thought it wasn't going to happen. And then, 4 months later, we were on tour in December. It was, we were in Europe. And I just got an email that said they wanted to use Drinking, Cheating, Loving, and Leaving. They phrased it. It was funny. It was something yeah, we'd like to use that song in Kevin's new movie if that's all right with you still. And I was definitely. absolutely. I sent the thing to them and heard nothing back. And then they wrote me back and said they wanted to use it. And, I'm super excited. We went out and celebrated that night, so.
How surprised were you, when you discovered that not only is it used prominently in the movie, but, it's right there in the trailer. That's how the trailer kicks off.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, I had no idea how it was going to be used in the movie. I was surprised when I heard it in the trailer, and I was surprised to have it, over the closing credits of the movie. I didn't know, any of that was going to happen. They just said they wanted to use it. So, yeah, I was stoked. I was super excited. Because I had no idea, about any of that stuff, I feel like I didn't really, I didn't tell anybody. I hate to be one of those guys, talking about, this thing that's probably going to happen or whatever, you know? So I didn't tell anybody. I mean, I don't even know if I told my folks, until the movie was out. And then I went and saw it and realized it was all over the place. And then I started telling people.
Well, and is that what led to Broken Wings being in Tusk?
I have no idea, because I didn't have any communication with them after that at all. I think Kevin Smith came to do a screening there in Kansas City and invited us to the screening, which would have been awesome. But we were on tour, we weren't even in the state, I don't think. So after that, I'd heard nothing. And then just out of the blue, I just hadn't got an urgent email marked urgent that said they wanted to use Broken Wings and Tusk, which is not even one of the songs I ever sent over. So I don't know how that happened or whatever, but I was obviously, very excited to have another song included. I'm a big fan of his movies, anyways. So it was really cool to have another one.
I think were you familiar with Kevin Smith's movies before this whole thing then?
Oh, definitely.
did you originally, like, find out about his movies? Like, what was the first one you ever saw?
I think a buddy of mine, I was, like, in junior high school, I think a buddy of mine had, like a dubbed VHS of Mallrats from, like, his older brother or something. And we watched that and just loved it. It was fantastic. And from there, you know, I just watched all the rest of them. And so, yeah, I mean, I've seen, like, every movie he's put out, you know, like, you know, previously, before this, and then now, of course, you know, I once saw Red State Tusk.
Now that you're done with Million Dollar Quartet, and you've got this new album out, can people expect to see you on the road promoting it?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of road dates. I did a bunch earlier this year. The record was supposed to be out earlier, and things got delayed, for whatever reason. So basically, I've been on the road, like, all year. I was home most of July, but the rest of the time I've been out. I'm getting ready, actually. I'm leaving on Thursday, and all of October I'm doing pretty much all over the Midwest. So stuff up in Michigan, Wisconsin, and then down to Indiana, Kentucky, and then coming over and doing Missouri, Kansas, Iowa. I'm going to be running around pretty much through the end of the year promoting the record.
What's the best way for people to find out those dates and things like that?
Oh, all the dates are on the website, which is adamleeband.com. I've got all the dates, and I've also got copies of the record and the vinyl and all that people can pick up if they want to do that. That's got all the most up-to-date information right there on the website.
Well, I hope people go and check that out. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Nick, yeah, man, thanks for having me, brother.
Cat came creeping down the road, digging through the trash, picking at some bones. And I'd be doing lots of thinking about the kind of life I chose. Yeah, sometimes the right path can lead you down some real wrong roads.
Thanks to Adam Lee for speaking with us. He can be followed on Twitter and Facebook at Adam Lee Band, as well as at his website, adamleeband.com, where you can find his new album, Sincerely Me. We can be found at fromandinspiredby.com and on Facebook and Twitter at fromInspiredPod. Please hit up the website and click on the Give Us Money button to help pay for web hosting and long-distance fees, and remember to leave us a review on iTunes. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode about one of your favorite movie soundtracks. Until then, thanks for listening.
Misery, a vision or